This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Oh, we got a busy one today here, Michael. A busy Tuesday. In Tucson, Wyoming, Cowboys football with Cody Tucker, 7220 Sports. Rockies lose in the most beautiful of ways last night. I'll explain. Spencer Smith will join us from DNVR Rockies. A glance at Georgia Tech today. Interesting notes there. Mike Brohard will join us from CSURams.com. We'll have the clip of the day. More on the Broncos. Who didn't crack that ESPN Top 100? We didn't really touch on that. We touched on who cracked it, but not who didn't crack it. It's confusing. Give me a fun show. Whole show starts right now. Michael, happy Tuesday to you, as well as to all of the hooligans in the land, as we get set for a fun show today. Mike, I watched the Rockies game last night. They lost the Orioles.
I'm not surprised about that.
They lost 2-1. They're losing a lot of these games in a very similar fashion. This one, though, I know we're working on the clip right now, but man, this was one of the more devastating losses. But it was a beautiful loss at the same time because of the play that was made. The Rockies lose 2-1. 52-86, man. They're just... It does feel a lot like it did last year. As far as the record goes, just the way they've gotten here is a little different, I suppose. But, I mean, last year this was a team that won not a lot of baseball games. You know, they won, 43 baseball games, 43 and 119. They're better than they were last year. Much better, really. But now we're kind of hitting that moment in the season where... It's been a rough go. They lost 2-1 to Baltimore. They lost in extra innings to Atlanta, 3-2. Lost 2-1 to Atlanta on Saturday, 6-4 on Friday. So now they're just, competitive games. Still, guys, I'm excited to see their growth, which we won't see for quite some time. But yeah, last night was rough. Where is Michael? I gave him a clip, and he just took off. So I don't know where he is at this point, but there was an amazing... Jake McCarthy looks like he's going to hit a walk-off homer and win the game 3-2. But instead, Colton Cowser makes one of the best plays, one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen. An incredible catch. To preserve Baltimore's win over the Rockies yesterday. There was like an hour rain delay. A dude got lost under the tarp. He's okay, by the way. They had fun with it. But for some reason, I decided to stay up and watch this game. And listen, I know the Rockies lost, but when you see, do you have the clip? You just took off. You just ran around. You ran away. Where did you go? Where did you go when you run away like that?
Well, I closed out my email by the time that you sent the clip. Yeah. So I did not get your clip.
Did you get this clip now? Did you get the Colton Cowser clip? Because this was one of the best plays I've seen. I sent this to you over an hour ago.
I can't check my email during coach speak.
Why? You have five monitors in front of your face.
Yeah, but none of them have my email on it.
I don't know. I sent it well before coach speak. We're pulling back the curtain here. telling you how bad Michael is at his job.
Yeah, but by the time you sent it, my email was closed.
Do you have it now?
I checked my email several times. I do have it.
Do you have it? Here's the play. I thought for sure, Jake McCarthy walk off, Rockies win an exciting game, and we get a little bit closer to getting into the 63 win mark. But instead, this happened.
Where to miss.
McCarthy deep center field. Kowser racing back. Kowser near the wall. Jumps. Kowser! He made the catch! He made the catch!
Are
it might be the greatest home run robbery, game-ending catch you'll see in your life.
You got to be kidding me.
Unbelievable.
You got to be kidding me, Mike. You got to be kidding me. He didn't even see, like, he's tracking the ball. Then he goes up to the wall, puts his glove up in the air. His legs are spread out. He's looking forward. He's not even looking up at the ball. And comes down with the catch. I mean, I didn't see the ball actually go into his glove. I just saw his expression when he comes down. And he was jacked. He was pumped. And it was devastating because you hate to stay up late, and especially for the Rockies. You know, late night college football, we're in a different planet now. It's an exciting planet that we're in, but late night college football is fun. Watching the Rockies in hopes that they can get win number 53, yeah, there are better things to probably do on a Monday night. And I said yesterday I might be done watching the Rockies, but, you know, I'm laying around and decided to watch, especially once the delay happened, so I had plenty of time to see how this one went down. But, no. Kowser comes up with just an incredible play, robbing Jake McCarthy of the home run. My goodness. You had a runner on second base. You had two outs in the ninth inning. McCarthy sent a drive to deep center. It was gorgeous. What little crowd was left was ready to go crazy. This was one of the best catches I've seen. I'm watching it again. He's just like sprawled out. There it is. McCarthy, beauty, boom, home run, potential game over. Kowser says, nope, let me put the glove up there and see what I can find. And just comes down with an immaculate catch and sends the Rockies home. That was ugly but beautiful at the same time. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe he made that grab. Did you see it?
I did see it, yeah. Shocking.
Look at how he's like spread out, and the pitcher's like, wow. He's tracking the ball, Mike, and then he just turns. He's not even looking anymore. He's got the glove where he needs it to be, squeezes, pulls it down, robbed a game winner, robbed a walk-off home run. And McCarthy, like, you could see the look on his face, Mike. He's kind of just like,
I did all I could.
What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? That's kind of where the Rockies are, though. They're kind of fun to watch some nights, and then other nights they're really not fun. Yeah. I don't know if breaking my heart, like, in that fashion, when you win a game like that, it's just pretty damn special.
I mean,
when Baltimore wins a game like that, it's pretty damn special. It's a special play.
If I'm a hitter, like, that catch is worse than a great catch that the pitcher just, you know, you hit it by the pitcher and he sticks his glove out behind his back and robs you. This one is just devastating.
His glove just disappeared behind the wall. It looked like he had to break his wrist to reach over and grab that. But he made the play, and it was another, as Spencer Smith will tell us, another infuriating loss for the Colorado Rockies. Do we feel better about the Rocks, though?
Yes.
I think we feel slightly better about the Rockies.
Sure, they're sliding, but they're better than last year.
Much better than last year.
That's important.
But now they're, you know, 52 and 86, Mike.
Six more games and I owe you a burrito.
Six more?
Yeah.
What did you predict them to win? How many did you predict them to win?
You did 64.
They do 64?
And I did 50. So if you average it out, seven means you owe me, and eight means I owe you.
So getting to 58 is the goal for me?
Yeah.
I think that can happen.
I mean, I'd rather them get more than 58. I'm okay with buying you a burrito from Big City Roadhouse.
Big City Roadhouse. That's worth it right there. Mm. That's the Rockies for you, Mike. But we move on with our lives. You know, it's Rockies baseball. And it's hard for me to, like, get excited even and do the whole, like, oh, the future's bright for the Rockies. Because what future? With the pending lockout on its way, I it's hard for me to get extremely pumped up. But it is what it is. Tough loss for the Colorado Rockies last night. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Mike, we got quarterback watch for Colorado State. Are some people, like, Tanner's really annoyed by this. Tanner's really annoyed by this. Here's Jim Mora talking about why he's holding the cards right now. Why he's not revealing who the starting quarterback will be this Saturday in the 2026 version of the Border War. Here's Coach Mora.
We'll let you know when we ultimately decide for sure, which will be actually kickoff is 4:07. So depending on if we receive or kick, it'll be sometime after that. I might let you know before that, but I don't know.
What stands out to you about?
Can I tell you why we do that? Just not to be coy. It's not to be cute. It's not to certainly not to mislead the people that support CSU. It's just I don't understand why you would ever want to give your opponent a competitive advantage. That's strictly it. You know, if I could whisper in the ears of every CSU fan who the starting quarterback was going to be and be certain that it wasn't going to get to anyone at Wyoming, then we'd probably do that. But you know, that's just not reality. So it's not for any other reason than that.
Well, you know, it would get out there. You know that he couldn't whisper it to the public, Michael, because we would reveal that. Somebody would reveal that. Not me. I'd keep it a secret.
If he whispered it to me, I'd say, yeah, I'm not. I'd forget. Well,
yeah,
probably,
you
like,
probably
right
would forget.
Afterwards.
Listen, man, this is how it's supposed to be. What do we think of Jim Mora so far? I'm asking the question to Hooligans today. Tell me why the Rams are going to beat Wyoming this weekend. I want to know what because you don't know anything about this team. You know what Lytle's told you. You know what we've talked about here on the show.
And Lytle doesn't lie.
Lytle doesn't lie.
Truthful.
Alpha chiming in because we have to. That's why they're going to win. Make a statement as our first game within the new Pac-12. Chris says, because Wyoming realized the only way they'll be free of Jay Sovell is one final push. Losing the boot week one will free them. Is Sovell, like, is he in the pressure cooker? Jay Sovell, what is this, year three already for Jay Sovell? Ellison Hubbard, my guy, says, because CSU is under a new era with Jim Mora. Maybe. I don't know. Better coach, more talent, hot, nasty speed. We have a winner. Susan and Cheryl like that. Hot, nasty speed. Yeah, very good. Program competency at headquarters. Okay. I like it. Give me the reasons. Because picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. During football season, Mike, this show is all about gathering information. Before those picks, we're already 0-1 to start the season, so we have to have a significant week here ahead of us. So I'm asking, I'm taking advice, whatever. Colahoma says culture and discipline. Faith says holding. Wonder if one of them has a slight injury and they don't want to announce because they want to make sure they're good. From what I saw, no, I don't think that's the case. Could be wrong, Mike. I believe it or not. Been wrong once before.
Do you think the quarterbacks themselves know?
Yes.
You think the players know?
Yes. I would be very shocked. Jim's already said it, Mike. Read between the lines. That's what we do here on the show. We use our logic, Mike, and I know it's tough for you, but we use our logic. I'm sorry.
I feel insulted.
You're catching strays today, and we're getting along pretty good, so I'm sorry about that. That's
I'm
my bad.
Go to my office and check my email.
Well, what's
cry.
Different? You've already left the studio four times since we started the show.
Three.
He already said it, Mike. He already knows. He said, listen, if I could whisper who it is to every single fan that follows us, I would. That means he knows. That means his team knows. And it is locked down. How do you lock it down, though? You don't think one player on that team is going to reveal who the starting quarterback is for the Colorado State Rams against Wyoming this weekend? You don't think one guy is telling his buddy? Do they have to sign a piece of paper? The team surely knows, right? Or is it just the quarterbacks know?
Someone has told their
somebody,
girlfriend.
Yeah.
Someone has been like, this dude's starting, and I am very happy about that. Or
so either
I there, have mixed feelings
either Jim
about
Mora
that.
Has it all locked down beautifully, or he hasn't told the team yet.
If week one his starting quarterback plays terribly, Jim Mora is going to catch a lot of flack. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because the media is going to be like, oh, he didn't tell us.
Well, then we start
he
all
didn't
over.
He'd make that decision
so,
early enough.
If Haas Haney's the starting quarterback for CSU this weekend, and he's not good, then we do this whole dance again next week. So that's where I start to get frustrated. I'm not frustrated with this at all right now. You got a transfer that came in from Oklahoma State. You got a guy you coached at UConn. They're both fast. They're both good. From what we've heard, Haas Haney got hurt last year, so he didn't get to play. But if the whoever the starting quarterback is, which is probably going to be Haas Haney, if you come out and he's bad next week, then do we start this whole song and dance over again? And that's where I start to get a little frustrated. Just go, you lean in on the guy, commit to him for a few weeks. Now, I'm not saying go Jay Norvell on this, like Jay Norvell did with BFN, which is like, he's my guy. I'm willing to put my reputation on the line for this dude. Now, I don't need to go that far, but I don't want to be here Monday and it's, hey, we're not revealing who the starting quarterback is the next week. That's where I'll kind of get a little different about it, I suppose.
Yeah, you can't get too cute with that. I understand why he's doing it now. If your quarterback plays so bad that you have to put in the backup guy, I'm assuming the backup guy is going to start the next week.
Aaron texting in, I think all the Pac-12 teams need to hit the ground running if they want the rest of college football to take them seriously. Yes, Pac-12 has a huge week ahead of them.
It really should be called the Pac-2
Pac-3. How is it the Pac-3? There are 8 teams in it, Mike.
Yeah, but 5 of them are donuts.
I don't... See, this is you're the kind of football fan
that has logic on its side.
No, I just want to prove you wrong so badly, so it makes me want to root even harder.
Look, if CSU does amazing this year, I will be happy because that will lift the conference. So you no longer just have Washington State, Oregon State, Boise State. You now have a fourth member.
Boise State, Mike.
Yeah, Boise State.
Boise State.
Boise.
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 You got to say it like that.
I did say it like that.
You gotta say it better, though. Boise State plays Oregon this weekend, Mike, and we'll have that game on KFKA this weekend.
Yeah, and that will be a loss for Boise.
Probably,
State.
Yeah. I'm not going to fight you
but
on that one.
What they need to do is they need to be competitive.
Well, yeah, they need to be competitive. They were 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. 24 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker is going to join us, talk to us about those Wyoming Cowboys. What has he learned in the last week? Keep it here on The Hulse Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Hulse Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
City Roadhouse. Smith. They got all the TVs in there are upgraded. The best, the top-notch TVs, the best you can get. There's not a bad seat in the house. This is your perfect spot to watch football all season. They got drinks. They got a full bar with creative cocktails. Their menu created by their very own James Beard-nominated chef Don Yamauchi, if I could spit that out, including tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, the grilled cheese I was talking about yesterday. The breakfast burritos are ridiculous. The list goes on and on, Mike. The menu is to die for. And if you haven't been to Big City Roadhouse yet,
shame on you.
You're seriously missing out. I mean, first off, we got to support local restaurants, man. We got to support local restaurants. But you want to know, is it worth your time? Is it worth your money to go out to Big City Roadhouse? Yes. We here as a staff go there all the time. Don't tell Michael. That's where we hang.
Hey.
That's where we hang out. Talk about Mike behind his back. It's usually a fun time for all of us. Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor. Roadhouse comfort.
Well, guess what? When you guys go to Big City Roadhouse without me, I talk positively about myself behind your back.
Good
so
for
it
you,
evens
man.
Out.
Good for you. Yeah, I like that. Thursday, man. We're gearing up. Thursday night. We kick off a very, very important week. Opening week, essentially, for these area football teams. And Colorado going up against Georgia Tech. Their quarterback, for those of you that don't know, is Alberto Mendoza. His brother, Fernando Mendoza. Alberto was with Indiana last year. He got himself a ring. Then he transferred to Georgia Tech. They have a stud running back, Mike. A very good back. Justice Haynes. Justice Haynes was with Michigan. Wasn't he with Michigan last year? He is really good. He had 900 yards and 10 touchdowns in 7 games for the Wolverines last season.
Is that guy's first name actually Justice, or is that kind of like, you know, Red Murdoch, where it's nickname? Because, like, that's a cool name.
It's a good name.
I just wonder if maybe his parents wanted him to go into law, and so they named him Justice.
He is missing out if he doesn't do, like, a Haynes commercial. Just his Haynes. You know what I mean?
That is brilliant.
Isn't it brilliant? Isn't that brilliant?
I mean, I prefer Sheath, but whatever.
Yeah. He, what?
Well, you were talking about Haynes. I'm talking about a different company.
Oh, okay.
And they're Colorado-based,
right,
and they're awesome.
Okay. 30 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker coming up next. All right, I'm asking Rams fans, why are the Rams going to beat the Cowboys this weekend? Well, Cody, I'm going to ask him, why are the Cowboys going to beat the Rams this weekend? Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He is our Wyoming Cowboys insider. He's coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Just a few days away now until the Wyoming Cowboys and the Colorado State Rams kick off their seasons, renew their rivalry. Big one coming up. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Cody, we're gearing up, man. We're getting dangerously close to what should be a good game this weekend between the Cowboys and the Rams.
Yes, we are. I'm ready, man. Kind of like the coach keeps saying that the players are sick of playing against each other. I'm sick of just covering the same stuff. I'm ready for an opponent myself. So what better opponent than CSU?
Yeah. You know, what do you make of this whole quarterback thing? Because there's even Rams fans here that are like, oh, come on, why are we playing games? I don't have an issue with it. Now, if whoever starts is bad against Wyoming, and then we do this whole thing again starting up next Monday, then I start to get annoyed by it. But right now, I don't have a problem with it.
Reminds me of, I believe it was the 2023 season, Craig Bohl was doing the same thing, even though it was blatantly obvious that Andrew Peasley was going to be the quarterback. He still put TBA on the sheet ahead of the Illinois game. And after Peasley's performance in Champaign, TBA probably should have started that game because it was brutal. But, yeah, it's just kind of funny. Sometimes these old coaches just kind of they just I don't know. I don't get it, man. But, you know, I think it's it seems pretty apparent after everything I've looked at and all the things I've read from Kevin and Justin, and it looks like it's Hoss Haney's job. And I know the Cowboys are preparing for both of those guys, but, you know, neither one of them have a ton of experience. But Hoss Haney drove Oklahoma State right down the field twice last year in Stillwater in the opener, and OSU's only win of the year. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting, but I also just think it's kind of goofy.
I mean, it's most of the time I look at quarterback decisions, and if it's like, okay, these guys aren't – like the Broncos had this with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, and it's like, okay, come on, just name a guy and let's move on. But they're both young guys. One guy, to me, has a little bit of an advantage because he was with Jim Moore. The other guy maybe has an advantage because he's a transfer from a bigger program, not a very good program, but a bigger program. So I get both sides. It makes sense to me, but at the end of the day, Wyoming, I would imagine, is preparing – For both guys.
Yeah, they are. And whoever CSU's quarterback is, he knows it. The guy knows it. The team knows it. You know, they've known it for a long time. They're just keeping it from the media, and they're keeping it away from the from Wyoming, as Jim Moore said yesterday. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think both of their skill sets appear to be pretty similar. And I just think Hoss Haney, he looks like he's the guy. He's a year older. He's got a little bit more experience. You know, he was a four-star quarterback coming out of Texas high school, won two state titles in Texas. So, you know, neither one of them have a lot of experience at this level. But I would say experience-wise, period, Hoss Haney's done a lot of winning in his life.
Yeah, yeah. And that was from the get-go. Once we found out that Hoss Haney was going to be in CSU, we kind of all just penciled him in as the starting quarterback. It wasn't until... You know, maybe earlier in fall camp when Kayson Farrar's name started popping up as, okay, wait a second, he might push this guy. But either way, as you said, the important note is, from what we've heard, they're both very similar to how they play. So for Wyoming, it's not like you're preparing for a pocket passer and or a mobile guy. Both guys are going to be doing essentially the same things.
Well, and Ferrer's no slouch himself. I mean, he was the top-rated recruit out of the state of Virginia coming out of high school. I mean, it's kind of amazing that UConn landed a guy like that in the first place, especially in the South. But, you know, yeah, they do have similar skill sets. And, you know, it's so funny. Listening to Jim Moore yesterday in his press conference, that's the exact same stuff we've been hearing from J.S. Bell for a month now. You know, you don't know how they're going to utilize their personnel. You know, 18 guys, I believe, came over from UConn with Jim Moore, but a lot of those guys didn't play much. So you don't know much about these guys. So you're pouring over film. You know, I know Sauvel and company have been pouring over UConn film. I wouldn't be surprised if they've even been going back to UCLA film, things like that. So, you know, Price Tracy has never called a game before at this level. So, you know, it's so much newness that both coaches pretty much have it pegged. And, you know, it is coach speak, but it's also true. You got to worry about yourself. Tackle, shuck blocks, trust your eyes, do the right things, don't make any silly mistakes. That's what you have to do until you get in the rhythm of the game and see how personnel is going
to
be used.
It's just so interesting, too. We're doing, and I'm going to do this for the Cowboys later this week, but today I'm asking Rams fans, why will CSU beat Wyoming? And it's all like new coach, you know, new attention to detail, all that stuff. Nobody really knows at this stage who they got.
Well, Micah just asked me before we went on the air what my thoughts were on it. It's hard to say, man. It's just really hard to say on both sides. I mean, if you went down the list and wrote it on a piece of paper, like, basically, why should I dump this chick or why should I stay with this chick? You could go down and you could make your best guess, but there's really not a lot of solidified things. You know, I was writing about Tommy Maher, for instance, the wide receiver there at CSU. He's one of the only guys remaining on that offense who's done anything against Wyoming, especially. And, you know, it's a lot of new faces and a lot of new things. And like we've talked about on your show, how are you going to teach an entire new roster, especially guys like DeMonde, their awesome linebacker, who's from the Bronx, to hate the Wyoming Cowboys? It's probably not going to be an easy task.
How do you do that, by the way? I've always wondered that, especially nowadays, man. Like, what do? You put them in a room and you strap them down to a table and make them watch footage of your opponent over and over again. And just, it's like torture almost. And then you come out of it like a robot. And you're like, I hate CSU.
Yeah, well, maybe CSU does that, but in Wyoming, and I've heard this from numerous, numerous guys who are new to this, everywhere you go, Brady, every restaurant you go into, people stop you and say, hey, welcome to Wyoming, glad you're here, you have to beat Colorado State. Every single person says that, and it's not just in Laramie. It's when they come over to Cheyenne. It's when they even go up to Jackson Hole. It's, you know, it's at every small-town rodeo in Wyoming. Everybody tells you, hey, welcome, glad you're here. You have to beat the Rams.
Well, and Cody, how much of that, too, is the Josh Allen thing? You know, Josh being one of the most famous NFL players, and anytime he gets a chance to, especially when he's speaking around Cowboys fans, it's always something along the lines of, hey, and it will always suck to be a CSU Ram. I mean, how much do these younger guys come in, go, yeah, Josh Allen's amazing, and he hates the Rams? Those are two things we know about the guy.
Yeah, that's funny. There's probably something to do with that with these young guys especially. But another thing I keep hearing, Brady, is, you know, there's not a ton of Wyoming natives on the roster. I believe there's about 10 of them. But they're another key to this cog during this week especially to tell these new guys what it means. And then you got a guy like Brian Hendricks, who's the defensive ends coach. He coached at CSU. His dad and grandpa were great, great All-American type players at CSU. And he decided to go to Wyoming. He also gets up in front of the team and speaks on it. And then you have Javon Bonight, who was an all-time great wide receiver at Wyoming, who's the wide receiver coach, who was going to go to Colorado State, but they didn't want him to play quarterback. So he went to Wyoming, and Wyoming ended up not letting him play quarterback either. But, you know, you get to talk to those guys there on your staff, and they get to tell you with tears in their eyes what it means to win this game and beat that team.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Tell me, what do you know about Wyoming like this year? You know, we know defensively, we've talked about that a lot. We know who the quarterback is for the Cowboys. But what do you expect, like, as far as the offensive game plan this year for Wyoming? Because it just hasn't been there. What do you see from Jay Sovell that leads you to believe, okay, we're gonna try to get this going early in this game against CSU?
You know, when you have a guy like Toad Harris in the backfield, he's a guy who's really special, and he's on all these preseason watch lists, and he's a guy, I think I told you last week, that, you know, he was recruited by the who's who of college football out of San Antonio, but when he tore his knee, his phone quit ringing, and Wyoming stayed on him, and he's here, and this is year two. Last year, in a really bad offense, he still led the team with 500 rushing yards. So he's put on 22 pounds in the offseason, and I think it's going to revolve around that guy. Three offensive linemen are going to be making their first FBS starts in this game. But the way Christian Taylor, the new offensive coordinator, operates is, hey, we need to make life easier on those guys. They can't be blocking dudes for 4 to 5 seconds. And that was a big problem last year. And you couple that with Caden Anderson not being mobile last year as well. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. So I think Tyler Hughes is just a creature of habit. He's, you know, Jay Sovell just said on Saturday after practice, you know, other guys are getting ready to go do their things and be teenagers, and there's Tyler Hughes up in the watching game film. So he's just a different kind of guy. He's driven. He's older. He's ready to go. He's sharing a brain with his OC. And I just think a combination of what Hughes can do, which Hughes can run and pass, which is something that, you know, they had a little bit with Andrew Peasley, but other than that, they've either had guys who can pass or guys who can run, and it hasn't been the dual threat you need. So I just think he is he's the unbelievable leader this team needs, and a leader that this offense especially was missing the last 2 years.
Well, tell us a little bit about Hughes too. You said, like, he's a student of the game. How does that differ from quarterbacks you've seen, you know, especially like these past few years?
Well, he has a maturity about him and a drive about him, Brady. And, you know, yeah, you know, every time I come on here, I'm not trying to dump on Caden Anderson. I'm certainly not trying to dump on Evan Sobota. But imagine yourself, if you were not doing well at your job, how are you going to be an effective leader? Every week you go out there and things don't go right, and then you're going to scream at other guys and tell them they need to do their job. It's just, it's an impossible task. And when Tyler Hughes came in, he flat out said, hey, I'm holding all of you guys accountable, and I want you to hold me accountable as well. And yeah, by all accounts, man, every single person you talk to on this team, and you can tell when it's just BS or when it's true, when the eyebrows raise and the head shakes and people go, yeah, dude, he's the real deal. This guy is just always around. He's always doing this. He is in love with playing the game of football. That is just something we haven't seen. And yes, Caden Anderson loves the game of football. So does Evan Sobota. This guy's just different, man. He's wired different, and it's just, it's a vocal thing, and it's a thing where he proves it on the field and he shows it. And that's just something I imagine was really hard for the last two guys. When you're not doing your job correctly, it's pretty hard to yell at anybody else.
We've been saying it for a few years now. If you can keep the magic of a Jay Sauvell defense but add a little bit of offense, and that starts with the quarterback, then I really think Wyoming can be a damn good football team. I know it's like an obvious thing. Well, if you had a good defense, you have a good offense. But their defense is just so ridiculously good. If you just have an ounce of offense to move the ball down the field, you know, switch up, you know, change up the field position, all that stuff, then Wyoming has a really good chance of being a great football team.
Yeah, I think last week, once again, I don't remember the numbers, but Wyoming's something like 40-6 when they score at least 21 points in the last 5-6 years, whatever it is. And it's just, that shouldn't be that hard to do in today's day and age, to put up 3 touchdowns in 4 quarters per game. So, you know, the 16 points a game last year were nothing short of an embarrassment. And that's another thing, man. You run into a guy like Christian Taylor, he's just young. He's 42 years old. He, you know, I did a story with him last week where I said, are you going to be in the booth calling plays? And he looked at me like I just took a dump on the floor. And he's like, why would I be up in the booth? He's like, I'm going to be on the sideline. I want to see my guys eye to eye, and I want to tell them what's up, and, you know, all that good stuff. So he's just he's kind of a whiz, too, and he's kind of a guy who's always in the film and always doing his thing, too. And they think if there is an edge this week, it's the fact that Tyson Summers is back. They just want to see, you know, how he deploys his guys. They figure DeMonde, I'm probably butchering his name, but they figure that that dude is probably going to fill right in for Owen Long, and that's going to be the focal point of CSU's defense. So the guy is just he's almost like a mad scientist, and the little protege there is Tyler Hughes.
All right, Cody, before we let you go, what is it going to take? Wyoming wins this game if this happens.
I think they need to run for at least 200 yards as a team, obviously force a couple of turnovers. Basically the blueprint of what you saw Wyoming do to CSU last year. I think CSU is going to be held off the scoreboard this year? No. But, I mean, that is basically the blueprint, except for if you ask Jay Sauvell off the record, they should have scored about 56 in that game. So I think Tyler Hughes is the X factor in this thing. I think Haas Haney is super, super talented. I think Ferrar is super talented. I just think they have so many new pieces and so many new voices in their ears. Wyoming does not have that issue, and they have Tyler Hughes. And I just think that's going to put them over the top. This is a guy who's driven. He's here to prove he can do it at the FBS level. He accounted for 31 touchdowns last year at William & Mary. Give me the Wyoming Cowboys winning this one in Fort Collins. Not 28-0, but I think it's going to be a good game. But I think this is where we see Tyler Hughes' maturity and him maybe picking up a few of those crucial third downs with his legs throughout the game that keeps him drives alive.
Maybe one of those tight games, and then they're able to just move the chains or whatever it is late in the game and hold on.
Yep, that's exactly what I see, and I think that's where that veteran maturity comes in. I also see a guy like Eric Richardson catching a few crucial balls too and picking up a couple third downs himself. And like you said, and we talk about all the time, Brady, I just think Wyoming's defense, led by Ethan Solsatz, I just think they're still too good. Don't know what CSU's defense is going to look like. I know they have good safeties. I know the middle linebacker's really good, but what else do they have?
Yeah, well, time will tell, man. We're less than a week away. So this weekend, Saturday, 4:00, the Border War 2026 version. Cody, always appreciate your work, your insight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Brady. Have a good week, bud.
All right, you too. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Mike, you feel any different about where you're going to go for this game? CSU three and a half point favorite, something like that?
I'm going to go 60% chance CSU loses and 40% chance CSU wins.
What is that?
It's a half cop out.
That is almost a full cop out. I think that's...
It's a half cop out. It is 60% cop out, 40% an answer.
40% of the time it works every time. That's basically what you just said to me.
I think it was like 90% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, something like that. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, this is why when we have these insiders on, Mike, they're so close to their stuff that they're covering it. They can get you excited about anybody.
Yeah, there are a lot of question marks with both of these teams.
Well, yeah.
So that's why I'm not giving a definitive answer.
Wyoming,
because I don't want to be wrong like I was with UNC.
Yeah, Wyoming is like, okay, Tyler Hughes, Samuel Harris. I mean, nickname is Tote. Guy like that, you know, you don't get the nickname Tote if you're not toting. Is it really changed? Is Wyoming offense really going to move the ball up and down the field 16 points a game last year?
Depends on CSU's defense.
Yeah. And then CSU. We don't know anything about them, man. We don't know about the identity just yet. We know about Jim Mora's past identities with UConn and such, but how much does that really teach us about what to expect from this team this season?
I bet you have a bunch of people on that team that like to go in the mountains and hiking. I think that's what I'm going to say.
What does that mean?
I mean, the coach likes to hike.
Okay.
So he maybe he's like, you know,
fitness,
what, I'm
going to
get
I'm
a bunch
sure.
of people who like to hike,
oh,
and
okay.
we can all go.
All right. On that note, 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number one. Coming up, we got top stories of the day, a little Rockies talk with Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, all that and more coming up next.
Stay in the know.
I drink. And I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I was taking a look at the ESPN Top 100 list. Some obvious names on there from the Broncos. One big one was left off. We'll talk about that coming up. Top stories of the day, a little glance at Georgia Tech, what to expect from them for this big game coming up on Thursday between Georgia Tech and Colorado. Mike Brohard will join us, Colorado State stuff. I doubt he'll give us any breaking news, but we can sure try. No, 100% he will not give us breaking news. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.